Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The deaths of at least two people in Florida being blamed on Hurricane Helene, which made landfall overnight. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
We did report that there was a traffic fatality last night. We also this morning can report that there's been another fatality reported in Dixie County due to a tree falling on the home.
Six dead across the southeast as the storm moves inland through Georgia and the Carolinas. Tornado warnings and flood emergencies are in effect. At the United Nations this morning, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel will fight, quote, until we achieve total victory if Hamas does not surrender.
We will return your loved ones home. We will not spare that effort until this holy mission is accomplished.
This as the Israeli military says it intercepted a missile fired from Yemen today. Israel also launched new airstrikes into Lebanon. New York Mayor Eric Adams in court this morning for his federal arraignment on corruption charges. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Unemployment in Wisconsin is down 2.5%. The State Department of Workforce Development says that's down from 3% in July. Joblessness went down in all 12 major population centers in Wisconsin since August, as well as since last year. Wisconsin school superintendent says budget-writing lawmakers should release $50 million to support literacy education. Jill Underley says the Joint Finance Committee's decision to hold on to the money is putting a burden on local communities.
They have, with good faith, bought new curriculum, have trained their teachers, but they haven't released the funding that they need to do this. And so they are footing the bill, and their taxpayers and the local communities are having to do it. And the money is there. It just hasn't been released.
Underley accuses Joint Finance Republicans of obstruction. She gave her annual State of Education speech yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home. The government is fining the company that employed a diver who died while cleaning the water tank in Blair last March. OSHA is ordering $85,000 in fines for Liquid Engineering Corporation. The Workplace Safety Agency finds the company liable for seven serious violations. Carlos Medina of Texas was cleaning Blair's water tank when he passed out from the cold and drowned. OSHA is not recommending any fines or citations against the city of Blair. The Small Business Administration is speaking with businesses around Duluth and Superior to let them know what future changes the Blatnik Bridge could bring. Small Business Administration officials say if local businesses struggle with delays or other risks, Washington may be able to help. Officials also say an extra 10 feet of clearance should allow almost any ship to come to the area. The Blatnik Bridge is a crucial corridor between the twin ports. I'm Terry Bell for James Kelly, and this is Civic Media News.
A potential playoff preview begins tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers are locked into the NL's third seed and will play in next week's wildcard round. This weekend, one of their potential playoff opponents, the New York Mets, are in Milwaukee for a three-game series. The playoffs begin Tuesday. A familiar face awaits on the opposing sideline this Sunday. Vikings running back Aaron Jones will play his first game against his former team. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur said there's still a lot of love for Jones in Green Bay.
I think everybody in this building respects not only the football player, but more importantly, the person that he is. And like I said, there's a lot of love for him. We're going to have to hit the pause button for about a three-hour window on Sunday and then, you know, pick it back up.
The team has not announced whether Jordan Love will play after missing 2 weeks with an MCL sprain. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Our little summertime in September that we have going on here is going to continue through the entire weekend. Today, mostly sunny. We'll get to 81 for a high this afternoon. Clear tonight, some patchy fog. Our low 54 tomorrow, sunny 82. On Sunday, sunny with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Here's to celebrating everyone's favorite time of year in Wisconsin with all our arty, fun-loving, foodie, feasting fall events. There's Kohler Food and Wine, Aaron's Art on Wheels at Road America, Red Cliff Cultural Days,
Holy Hill Art and Craft Fair, and the Fests. Wausau's Ginseng Fest, Warren's Cranberry Fest, Bayfield Apple Fest, Milwaukee Film Fest. Whew, there's a whole lot of fall fun to be had in Wisconsin. Find more events at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Getting your start in farming is a big lift requiring a lot of resources. The new Starting Gate program from Ag Country Farm Credit Services is here for you. Starting Gate offers preferential rates and custom financing, discounts on financial services, scholarships, and educational opportunities. To learn how Starting Gate can help you, contact your local Ag Country office. Ag Country, focused on ag, focused on you.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Northeast Wisconsin independent filmmaker J.B. Thompson, and it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr joins us with new music and great conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am filling in for Jane Matinair, who's taking the day off and will be returning Monday. We're so happy to have you with us today on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can always join us in the conversation. You can call or text. It is the same number. You can do that by calling 855-752-4842. That number again is 855-75-CIVIC. Be part of the conversation. Or if you're watching us on the live stream, you can do that by joining us on Facebook or YouTube or on our Twitter account. Because, Calvin, what do I always say?
Twitter is best when it's called Twitter.
Close. We're going to give you a participation award on that one. That voice right there was Calvin Butenhoff on the boards, Dr. Slide, a.k.a. Sweet Calby, Cal Vienti, when he gets spicy. And we got a very packed show for you today. At 10:33, we have Dorothy Harms, who is the founder and board president of the Farmers Angel Network, which is a group that concerns itself mainly with the mental health and suicide prevention of those in the rural and farming community in Sauk County. Just a warning, folks, we will be talking about those topics coming up soon. So just in case, I'm giving you a warning right now. That was coming up at 10:33. Then at 11 o'clock, we have Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area / the political editor of Civic Media here to talk more about the statewide races here in Wisconsin, because he put together an amazing, basically a voter guide for everyone to look at every single race that's happening here in Wisconsin, whether it's Assembly or State Senate. You can go ahead and go to Civic Media's website to check that out. He will be here at 11:06 a.m. And also at 11 o'clock, we are going to have this show's final editions. Today is the last day of the Go for the Greener Gold Text to Win contest, where you, by downloading the free Civic Media app, can participate. So what's going to happen is at 11 o'clock, I'm going to give you a keyword. And when you hear that keyword, you are going to open up that free Civic Media app. You're going to text us through the app and give us that keyword, and you will be entered into a contest to win either some jewelry or some cash. I believe it's cash today, if I'm not mistaken. But all of those entries are going to be taken in, and the grand prize winner will be given 2 club-level seats to see the Green and Gold take on New Orleans on December the 23rd, which I just feel like is an amazing Christmas present, Calvin. What would you do if someone's like, Merry Christmas, here's some tickets to go see the Green and Gold?
You know, I've never seen the game in Green Bay. I think it would be fantastic.
I mean, unfortunately, we work for Civic Media, so we can't go unless one of our friends wins. That just seems like a lot. Never mind. Calvin, I'll tell you what. We'll get some tickets. We'll charge it to the company account because it's research and development, and we'll go see a game there. But, yes, that's at 11 o'clock today, and then you'll have another chance at 1 and another chance at 4 p.m. as well. That is the Go for the Greener Gold Text to Win contest. Stay close. Listen to that for the keyword, and then text that in through the Civic Media app. And then finally, to round it off, we have another edition, Friday edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. We're calling this one Giant Baby Edition. Do you have any idea, Calvin, what that could mean for the audience? Giant Baby Edition.
I spoiled myself and looked ahead.
Okay, well then.
But I'll play dumb and say, Oh, I have no idea. Could be anything.
See, he's not just a great producer. He's also a fantastic actor. And then also, speaking of actor, we did lose an acting legend this morning. We got news of the passing of Dame Maggie Smith. We're going to talk more about her in the 11 o'clock hour. But what I want you folks who are listening and watching right now to start thinking about, because we want to hear from you, because basically this, when we lose great actors, when we lose great people, and she was a great human being, we like to talk about how wonderful they are after they have passed. Well, I want to start talking about maybe some great celebrities, maybe some great people in our lives who need the flowers before they're gone. So at 11:33, we'll be talking more about that. So get those things in your mind. You can call or text that in when we get to that point. But yeah, think about those in our lives that we just absolutely love and adore, who deserve all the flowers now and get to see that great admiration before they leave us. So big show, packed show, Calvin. We're going to start it off with some news coming out of Madison where, I don't know if you heard about this, but 2,200 duplicate absentee ballots in Madison were mailed out by accident. This was all done by accident because humans means human error, right? Okay. So as we've talked about before, and the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because we talk about voting and voting early very, very much. And we're going to keep talking about it probably, well, after the election too, because then we're going to go right into a spring election. And there'll be another election and it never ends here. But what I wanted to do when talking about this was the fact that when errors like this happen, there are safeguards in place. But that didn't stop Tom Tiffany, congressman of Wisconsin, from taking to the Twitter sphere to talk about how this is voter fraud, how apparently there were no barcodes on the ballots themselves. And that became the point of fury for him, that there were no barcodes. This is fraud. Madison's engaging in fraud because it's Madison. So they're all liberals and Democrats and socialists and Marxists and all these things. But Calvin, do you know what the problem was with that, like, you know, fury that he started?
I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that it wasn't true.
Well, he's right. There were not barcodes on the ballots because ballots in Wisconsin do not contain barcodes. The envelopes that the absentee ballots are returned in do contain barcodes, so the voter can track their ballot to ensure it's been received. The barcodes allow election officials to ensure that the same voter does not cast a ballot in person on election day. This is what they call a safeguard. This is pretty common knowledge. And this could have been a question answered had someone in his staff said, I'm going to call Madison just to make sure. But they didn't do that, Calvin, because they never do that, right?
Well, that would require critical thinking and doing work.
And as we all know, Tom Tiffany, not a big fan of either. He tweeted out on his Twitter account, you know, when I don't like them, I'm going to call it X. When I do like them, I'm going to call it Twitter. My office has proof that there is no barcode on the actual ballots. No barcode. And he shows a picture of the ballot. And guess what? The clerk in Madison just simply said, yes, that's true, because the ballots are on the envelope. And they made sure the city of Madison, the clerk's office, made sure that the city was informed about the error, and that basically, if you tried to mail in your duplicate ballot, it would be flagged before it was ever counted. So once again, we have these safeguards in place. And here's the thing that really, I'm going to keep saying this too, steams my grits. I'm going to make that into a t-shirt, Calvin. It steams my grits. His colleague, Milwaukee Congressperson Gwen Moore, came out and said, why are you doing this? Do you know why she did that, Calvin?
Because she actually did the research and knew what was going on.
Well, this whole thing is to try to make it seem like in-person or absentee ballots or drop boxes or anything that's not day of, drop the paper in the box and take your sticker and go home, is fraud, election stealing, all the things. The problem is that Gwen Moore brought up the fact that Congressman Tiffany has just voted in August by mail. In fact, he's voted 4 out of 5 times by mail. And it's the problem I have is that the Republicans, the GOP, Donald Trump standing on stage literally saying you gotta vote early, and then saying voting by mail is theft. There's no constant message here. And the problem I have is that this confuses the voter. I don't really care what you think about mail-in voting. It's safe. It's secure. It has been for a long time. Politicians do it. Celebrities do it. You and I do it. People overseas do it. And the point is that we need to instill confidence to the voter that what they're doing is safe, legal, and good. And by doing something like what Tom Tiffany did, which is stoking a fire which should never been stoked in the first place, that gathers more attention than the Madison clerk's office, who puts out a statement that says simply, there was a mistake, we've rectified the mistake, it's safe, it's secure, you're safe to vote, no problem. Because not a lot of people are going to the clerk's office website in Madison, but they do go to Tom Tiffany's social media, which, of course, gets way more attention. It's got 1.6 million views on that post where he's accusing Madison of nefarious shenanigans. And of course, when I saw it on Facebook last night, what do you want to guess, Calvin? Do you think that the comments were telling Tom Tiffany that, oh, no, you're wrong, it's been fixed, it's fine, you're good? What do you think the comments look like?
I can only imagine that they sounded a bit like the conversation Earl had this morning with Ken Blackwell from Ohio, that they were very... They were like, see, evidence, they're cheating.
The theft has begun. Or it just becomes more and more apocalyptic as you go further and further down the comments. And I just want people to know, and this is for all people, whether you're voting for Donald Trump, whether you're voting for Kamala Harris, whether you're voting for a third party, your vote, if done early, absentee, drop box, not on the day, is safe and secure. That is always the point, that your vote is safe and secure. And if there's a problem, you'll be contacted. And in this situation with Madison, they nipped it in the bud immediately. And when you have people out there who have a lot of views on a big platform, a huge soapbox to stand upon, they muddy the process up and only make it harder for people who just want to vote. Calvin, you said you're going to vote on the day, right?
I always have.
Okay. All right. So you're doing good. I'm still waiting for my absentee ballot to come in the mail, but we just want to reiterate the point that if you are going to do this, if you were going to vote, we hope you vote, that you always have a plan, that you always are able to make sure you know exactly what's going on. You can do that by going to myvote.wi.gov. You can go there. You can find out what's on your ballot. You can no longer request an absentee ballot, I believe. You'll be able to start voting early soon in Wisconsin, but you can find out what's going on in your community, who represents you, those phone numbers, and what you can see coming up in November on the ballot. We got to take a really quick break. We're going to get some snacks and stay hydrated, but when we come back, Derek Van Orten's next on my list. He's another favorite of mine. He's decided that to do nothing is to do everything. So don't go anywhere. We're going to keep talking about the congressman of Wisconsin. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive-free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other great Link products. Our backpack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school
a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that Just a Bit Outside the Movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie. Yeah. Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Boss, sitting in for Jane Mattenair, who will be back on Monday. I got Sweet Cal B on the boards here, and you are always welcome to be part of the show. Do that by calling in or texting. It's the same phone number. It's 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Take your calls. Take your texts. You can comment on the live stream. We are currently live streaming on YouTube as well as Twitter. I guess Facebook is being a problem. But, you know, you can always find us there. You can always drop a comment in the live stream, and we always love to hear from you. We got a few texts regarding our discussion on Tom Tiffany, who decided instead of to do his own research, which, by the way, the GOP loves to tell us to do our own research. He didn't do his and decided to call out Madison in a human error, a problem that was rectified, taken care of, duplicate ballots sent out. They will be, the safeguards are up. They will not be counted twice. The steal is not happening. You're fine. Take a breath. Sit down. Calvin?
Yeah, just a broader point about do your own research. Anyone who says do your own research,
yeah,
and then say, just ask them, well, show me your research. And if they have research, it will consist of articles from Newsmax, OAN, and if you're lucky, Fox News. And that's not evidence.
No.
That's reporting, first of all. And second of all, Newsmax and OAN are very poor reporting.
Oh, they're not. I'm more of a journalist than they are, and I'm not journalist whatsoever. And the fact is like when you listen to this show, this is information. We are giving you the information we want to talk to you about, but we use real journalism. The story I was referring to was written by Scott Bauer of the AP Associated Press. That story is linked in the show notes for today. We make sure that you know what we're talking about and you can do your research so you can find out what's going on. You don't have to believe me, but I ask that you read Scott's article and inform yourself. So yeah, if I said do your own research in any other tone than sarcastic, I'd have to start worrying about myself, Calvin.
Yeah, because, I mean, first of all, it's condescending.
Yes, so absolutely.
It's not a good way to talk to people.
Yeah.
And second of all, it's assuming that they haven't done their own research. I have done my own research, and I feel that my opinion is very well grounded in facts.
Yeah. We were talking also before about myvote.wi.gov. It's an important place to also see if you are registered to vote. If you are not registered to vote, you got to get yourself registered. You can do it. Sign up. You can register on the website. You can register the day of. We will warn you that it's a big election this year. Lots going on the ballot. It's a presidential election. A lot of people are coming out. So if you were not registered that day and you have to do it on the day at the ballot box, it's going to be a bit of a wait. So just prepare yourself. But you can register ahead of time. So you make sure you're taking care of. Just make sure you take your ID with you. I don't really like that fact, but that's for another conversation. And it's not always because of nefarious actions either. If you have moved a bunch of times and you haven't re-registered or haven't voted in a while, you will be taken off the voter rolls. That is a common practice. So make sure you are registered. Make sure you are good to go when you're ready to vote. Now, Derek Van Orten. Oh, man. He is the pot with which my grits are steamed, Calvin. So the government has passed a continuing resolution to fund the government through December, through most of December. Continuing resolution for you, those who do not know, when they are not able to pass a budget, they do this to avoid or to pass. So there's not a government shutdown. To avoid government shutdowns, they will pass a continuing resolution to keep the government funded, because if we don't fund the government, lots of things shut down. Services to people who need them. And Derek Van Orten decided that it was a good idea to vote no on the continuing resolution. Now, I'm not always in favor. I think it's kicking the can down the road. I think it's not working together, but you have to keep it funded or things shut down and people like you and I suffer, whether it's Social Security, whether it's national parks, whether it's goods and services you get through the government, it shuts down and you can't access them. But Derek Van Orten, no, he thinks the right thing to do is to shut it down. And that's what exactly he voted to shut it down. He said, "I voted against the CR, the continuing resolution, to save American agriculture." Make that make sense, for one thing. Instead of cherry-picking Democrat programs from the committee's farm bill, which they have yet to pass after a year, to extend in the CR and playing politics with hungry children and production agriculture, we should be providing our farmers with the resources and certainties they need to do their jobs. We cannot keep kicking the can down the road. We both say that, by the way, on a bill that our farmers need authorized a year ago. I'm unwilling to risk everything they have and continue to work for. Calvin, you know how I feel about this man, especially when it comes to the topic of farming. He puts himself up as the saint of the farming community. He's on the agriculture committee, and he does nearly nothing for them. And now he is using them as a pawn to say, let's shut it down. And I do not appreciate that. And by the way, Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany voted against the continuing resolution. This is just not good for the people. What do you think, Calvin?
Well, just a broader point on continuing resolutions and keeping the government open. I agree. I don't like continuing resolutions. I wish they would come together and come up with a solution to fund the government long term. That being said,
yeah,
you can only vote in complaint that way if you either have a solution yourself on how to do that, or mm-hmm. one has been presented that's being ignored, and neither of those things are happening. This is just Derek Van Orten stamping his foot and saying, I don't get my way.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I completely agree with you. And that's something he's very good at. If you want any evidence of that, look at his Twitter account. It is nothing but complaining, whining, aggression, and a guy who really doesn't care about Wisconsin as much as I think he thinks we think he does. I don't even know if that made sense. But my point is, if he really cared about the farmers, if he really cared about the people, he'd work together with his colleagues. He may not like them or like what they stand for, but it's about the people, especially the farmers. Speaking of the farmers, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have the board president and founder of Farmers Angel Network, that is Dorothy Harms. She will be joining us to talk about mental health in the farming community. You can always be part of the conversation by dropping a text or call. You can also view us on the live stream. Don't go anywhere. Taking a short break. Stay hydrated. You are amazing. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And my heart ain't taken. If you leave me now, I'm not gonna make it. I'm not.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Pro-democracy groups are calling out the mayor of Wausau for moving an absentee ballot out of the public's reach Sunday. Nick Ramos heads the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He says it's as bad as a mayor going into a polling place and removing a tabulation machine.
Stunts like this only sow seeds of doubt into the security of our elections. This makes people think that their vote does not count. The truth is that your vote matters in every single election.
The Marathon County District Attorney is looking into whether Doug Diddy broke the law. A complaint has also been filed with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Wisconsin businesses say health care costs are a burden. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce's new survey shows 85% of Wisconsin businesses reported health care costs going up 10% or more. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home. A man from Eau Claire who was the ringleader of an area drug trafficking organization is going to prison. Hector Jimenez Sosa was convicted of distributing methamphetamine after pleading guilty in July. This week, he was sentenced to 10 years in prison and 4 years of supervised release. He was arrested after undercover law enforcement officers bought drugs from Jimenez Sosa during their investigation last year. An art exhibit in Eau Claire aims to raise awareness about homelessness. It's called More Than Homeless, and it'll be on display at the L.E. Phillips Library in October and early November. Retired art teacher Dan Ingersoll volunteers at the Community Haven House Day Shelter. He says he was inspired to put on the exhibit after working with homeless people on art projects. Money raised will go to keep the shelter open longer hours in the cold weather months. I'm Terry Bell for James Kelly, and this is Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Headed to the movies this weekend? Here are a few options that hit the big screen. First up, it's the highly anticipated The Wild Robot. If you love movies about robots that get stranded on deserted islands, then The Wild Robot is your film. The story follows the adventures of Roz, a robot who has to endure harsh conditions after being stranded on the island and befriending a gosling. As you can imagine, it's a family-friendly film. The critics are raving about it. It's currently pulling a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Francis Ford Coppola's 40-year, $100 million project Megalopolis also hits the big screen in wide release this weekend, but to uneven reviews. The legendary director's passion project is pulling about a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. And if it's graphic horror you're in the mood for, check out the Demi Moore film's The Substance. The film explores trying to make a better version of yourself by using, you guessed it, The Substance. What could possibly go wrong? Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A bright blue and beautiful day today with sunny skies and highs reaching 80 degrees. This warm September trend hangs on for the entire weekend too, providing us with pleasant dry weather as the high heat hangs on. Enjoy your weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 65.
Sweet chocolate reward. Sweet chocolate reward.
This is not just the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat at Walgreens. This is the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat right after receiving all their vaccines in one trip. This is the sound of treating yourself because you protected yourself.
Stop by or schedule both your flu and COVID-19 vaccines today and grab yourself a sweet treat while you're at it. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure. Down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. It's the Big Ten opener in SoCal against USC. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 99.9 FM, 1400 AM, WRJN.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we will preview the Wisconsin Badgers taking on the USC Trojans live from Los Angeles, California. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am sitting in for Jane Matinair, who will be here back on Monday As always, we welcome you to join us by calling or texting. Same number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. As always, we have the board lord, Dr. Sly Calbi, on the boards with us today. And I want to talk to you about our guest today. She's joining us. Her name is Dorothy Harms. She is the board president and founder of Farmer Angel Network. Welcome to the show, Dorothy. How are you today?
I am good. Glad to be with you today, Greg.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I was looking at your website, and it's beautiful work that what you're doing right now. Can you give us a little understanding of what the Farmer Angel Network does and how you started?
Sure. So Farmer Angel Network is in existence now for 5 years. And unfortunately, kind of came out by call to action when a good friend of mine, a farmer, lost his life to suicide. My friend Leon Stotts had suffered with depression for a number of years. And at the time when he sold his dairy herd, it was just really too much for him to kind of bear that whole change in lifestyle and his loss of identity. After he had died, the community really rallied around their family and opened up a church for forums that kind of bring people together for support. And we were astonished when we had 40 to 60 people from across the state turn out, because they too wanted to be able to talk about farm mental health.
You know, and that's, you know, of course, we know about mental health, we know about suicide and suicide prevention, and I think we always think of it as a broad term, and I believe it was a few months ago someone actually brought this topic up and really talked about how it is in the farming community like it is in a lot of communities, but of course it isn't talked about, and you're really bringing a light to this situation in such a specific community and making it okay for people to talk about their feelings and how they're feeling inside. I mean, what is it that, you know, is it outreach work that you do for the farming community? How does the group operate within? Now you're mainly in Sauk City, correct? Or Sauk County?
Sauk County, yeah. And adjoining counties.
Okay, yep. Great. So if you're having a problem, come talk to us. We can help you get services. How do you go about doing that with the work that you do?
You know, so we really kind of take a several prong of approach to this. One is educational programs that we provide. Some of those have been directly on financial, some of the things that are cause of farm stress. You know, financial challenges, I think, kind of seems to be a big one. Oftentimes, a farm succession or changes in farming, you know, whether somebody is exiting the farm operation. And so providing, working with agencies like UW Extension, with our local public health, our local county land conservation office, and providing programming and education. Another approach that we really have looked at is helping to educate the people who are oftentimes the front line in a case of a mental health crisis. So, providing specific education on active listening skills, QPR, so question, persuade, refer, for people who are the EMTs, who are healthcare providers, who are law enforcement, to kind of help build their toolbox when they come upon somebody that's in a mental health crisis. you know, and part of that is educating these folks on, you know, these people are meant to be our helpers, but a lot of times they don't understand the culture of farming.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily understand that a farmer is going to many times put his animals, the care of his animals and his crops, way ahead of his own well-being. Times when, if they do have an appointment to see a mental health provider, it's a good day for making, hey, I really can't come in today. You know, can we reschedule?
Yeah.
So that is one approach for Farmer Angel Network. The second one is, when we started this, while we had good turnouts initially, you know, we didn't necessarily want to promote this as a suicide prevention group. And so some of our activities are really meant to celebrate and bring appreciation to farmers for the hard work they do. We've hosted events like ice cream socials at our local county fair, family movie nights at a local drive-in movie, a farm bash for folks. I've even handed out brownies at the local livestock auction barn. But with all those times, we are having people, you know, meeting farmers where they're at and providing information to them on available resources, on places that they can go to get help. While many of our members are trained in active listening skills, you know, none of us are trained professional therapists. And so we really work to refer people to that next step, to people that can help them in the mental health field.
You know, that's some, you know, you say, I think what I was trying to get across before was that, you know, I think we've all dealt with a friend who's going through hard times and you want to be able to sit down and talk to them and what you're active listening. But I am not a farmer. I don't come from farm family. So if a person sits down in front of me and says, you know, I have to sell my cows, my child doesn't want to take this over, I don't know how to identify with that. And I think that's so important that you all have this specific skill on connecting with a group of people. And I think it's wonderful work you're doing. I also want to go back to what you were saying as far as, you know, the pressures and the strains on farmers nowadays is, you know, even though they have top of the line equipment, combines that, you know, it's really great stuff to get the work done. Modernization, especially as far as how the world is kind of, I don't want to say we're moving away from farming, but I feel like we do forget how important the farmers are. And that puts them in a place where feeling unappreciated maybe by the community or by the government or by society in general, it can be so overwhelming. Am I wrong in that assumption?
No, you are not wrong. And I think oftentimes, you know, there's long hours, hard work and that goes into all of it. And, you know, there's just sometimes for the return that you get and, you know, especially in income, you kind of have to ask yourself what for. You know, many people who farm because of the passion they have, they have for the animals, for the land, for their family heritage. You know, they may be fourth or fifth generation farmers. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of one of the pressures that oftentimes are kind of on a farmer's back that, you know, I don't want to be the last one to kind of turn off the lights on this family farm.
And I mean, and I know that there are a lot of young people out there who are like, you know what, my dad's a farmer, but I want to go on and do something else. And I can't imagine that, like, you know, the feeling of that. But it's, yeah, like I said, this is I'm glad you're on the show today. I'm glad we're talking about this. And if anybody, of course, if you are in that community and you want to reach out, your information will be in our show notes today. If you're just tuning in, we are talking to Dorothy Harms, who is the board president and founder of Farmer Angel Network, talking about the work they do in the community to help protect the mental health and the mental health of our farming community up there in Sauk County. We said it was Sauk County. What was the other one again?
So Sauk County, so around us, Juneau, Richland County, wonderful. Iowa County, Columbia
excellent.
County. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I might just add, Greg, the community model that we've put together in this mm-hmm. grassroots movement is starting to take a hold. We now have a second chapter up in Western Wisconsin, up in Ellsworth.
That's fantastic.
And I've been talking to folks in Waupaca County. So really kind of looking at putting together a community model that other communities can emulate and, you know, kind of put together their own resource support for farmers in their areas.
Do you have farmers who, you know, are part of this program who maybe then say like, oh, I've been helped by this. I've been helped through whether it's therapy, through just going to these events, who say, let me talk to farmers now too. Let me be an active listener and sit down and say like, I know what you're going through. Tell me what's going on. How can I help? How can we help you?
Yeah, I definitely, you know, the people who kind of form our core group of Farmer Angel Network are all people who have lived experience in one way or another. And I think they have a particularly sympathetic or empathetic ear, you know, when folks come to talk to them. So, yeah, we definitely are seeing that within the group. It's while we have farmers involved, we also have a local healthcare professionals that are part of this network. Like I said, UW Extension specialist. We've had folks that are agri-professionals. So and we've got a veterinarian and a dairy nutritionist. So people who are on farm on a regular basis and are kind of the boots on the ground. So we kind of help equip them with some of the skills they need when they're just in conversation with a farmer and maybe notice something that might be a little off, you know, that day with them when they're visiting.
Yep, that's fantastic. We have Cindy from Appleton's on the phone. Cindy, do you have a question for Dorothy?
Well, actually, what I've been seeing, I've kind of been hanging out with the farming community with a bunch of events this summer. I'm seeing people going into more sustainable farming, not necessarily bigger, but more sustainable. And a lot of the dairy people have been going into beef raising and doing more production of vegetables on their lands to sell. And I don't know if she's heard about the Kernza, but the Kernza is an up-and-coming crop. And I know a lot of what the farmers do is very stressful. And these are some ways of them having to deal with less stress to make farming a more, I guess, palatable thing to do these days.
Yes. Thank you so much for calling, Cindy. We really appreciate it. Is that something else that's, you know, it's maybe a farmer who's been working in one crop or one harvest for so long, they say, all right, I'm going to move into a new venture that may be helpful for not only their home life, but also for their mental health.
Yeah, that's why it's been important for us to have some of the connections with our local land conservation department. Mm-hmm. They are leaders here in Wisconsin as far as rotational grazing, establishing cover crops, kind of some new ways to kind of look at small farms to be able to produce additional revenue onto their farm. So, yeah, I really appreciate those comments, Cindy, because I think farmers are kind of taking a step back from bigger is better and looking at ways that they can provide additional revenue on their farm.
Do you have any events coming up in the next few weeks or months that we should know about?
Oh, I do. I got to see if I can find the date here. I know we are going to be a part of an event in November. And I guess I'll have to maybe refer to our Facebook page. That is going to be hosted with the Farmer Veteran Coalition. It is a film screening in Prairie du Sac called Greener Pastures.
Okay.
And I think it really is going to be an opportunity. It's a film kind of really along the lines of what Cindy was talking about.
Okay.
Being able to get folks in the conversation talking about ways that we can reinforce and kind of build up our local farms.
I'm looking at your website right now, and I can actually tell you it's November 13th at 6 p.m. at the River Arts Center in Prairie du Sac. I will put that in the show notes as well to make sure they, if they want to attend, they can. Is there anything else you want to say before we get going? And we're gonna make sure we have your information on our website as well. But is there anything else you want us to know? How can people reach you if they want to get in touch?
So, yes, to get in touch with us, again, as you mentioned, our website, farmerangelnetwork.com. Our email address is farmerangelnetwork@gmail.com. And we are responsive to messaging to Facebook as well. So, really invite folks to kind of check it out. We've got a whole host of resources on the website.
Wonderful.
And I think it can really help folks.
Thank you, Dorothy, so much for being here. Dorothy Harms is the board president and founder of Farmer Angel Network. Please check it out. Check out our show notes. And if you need to reach out to them. And we thank you so much, Dorothy, for being a part of the show today and for the work you're doing for that community. Thank you so much. So much.
My pleasure.
All right, folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Text to Win contest at 11 a.m. But don't go far. And we got Dan Schaefer, 11:06. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Paperback Writer.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air today, who will be returning Monday, and you are listening to the show on the Civic Media Radio Network, as always, and you can be a part of the conversation by calling or texting. That number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream, which we are on right now. We are live on YouTube, as well as our Twitter X account. I feel like when we're professionally talking, I got to call it X. I don't like it, Calvin.
Well, you don't have to. You can do whatever you want. It's a free country.
But, you're right. I did do my own research on that. It is a free country.
But also, this isn't an original joke, and it might have been told on the show before by someone else. But if we have to call it X, the posts could be called excrements.
Ooh, I like that. Okay. I think you made that up yourself, buddy. I
can't claim. I don't want to be a joke stealer.
Well, as a comedian, I truly respect you for that. You can also, you can leave a comment on the live stream. You can text us if you'd like. We're going to read some texts later on the show. We got a lot going on here today. And I just wanted to let you know, remind you, at 11 o'clock, it's the keyword for the Go for the Greener Gold text to win contest. That comes up at 11 o'clock. I will give you the keyword. You're going to go to your free Civic Media app, text the show, text that word to the show, and you'll be automatically entered to win $100 cash or maybe some jewelry. But either way, everyone who enters is going to be for the hourly one, will put into the grand prize, which is two club level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay take on New Orleans on December the 23rd, which is going to be a fantastic, fantastic Christmas present for somebody, I must say. But yes, that coming up at 11 o'clock. And then also at 11 o'clock, 11:06, we've got Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. He will be breaking down the statewide elections and also talking about maybe some other things going on like drop boxes or also Tom Tiffany. We'll see. We'll see where we get with him. But it's great to have him back here. That will be happening at 11:06 in the second hour. Now, Calvin, when I was filling in for Jane a few weeks ago, we talked about the fact that the former First Lady, Melania Trump, is not only a former First Lady, model, mother. That's all I know about her beyond that. But she's also an author.
Allegedly.
You get called conspiracy theory about this stuff. You think it's allegedly, yeah. But
well, okay. So she legally is the author of the book. We'll say it that way.
That's when you cue like the X-Files theme song, because you're getting all. But she came out with a book called Melania. We talked about it on the show a couple weeks ago. If you want a copy for yourself, it's either $40, $75, or $250. And apparently, it's so good, it is already a top seller, according to former president, current convicted felon, and current husband of Melania Trump. He said in a tweet, "Congratulations to our incredible first lady as her new book, Melania, hit number one in the USA. You can buy her copy at the website. The problem is that the book hasn't been released, I believe. It's also not on any bestseller list whatsoever. Amazon, New York Times, or anything. It's not even listed on there, period. But according to the former president, it's number one. Or did he mean number one in our heart?
Well, certainly number one in his heart, if he has one. But even if it were on the New York Times bestseller list, which you just said it wasn't, that isn't some like huge major accomplishment. I'm reading in this LinkedIn article that if you can sell between 5,000 to 15,000 copies a week, you have a realistic shot of being on the New York Times bestseller list. It is selected by the bestseller list editors. Mm-hmm. But for former first lady, that doesn't seem like that high of threshold.
Well, I mean, I'm not gonna shake a stick at being on the New York Times bestseller. Also, I've never written a book, so you're in no danger of that ever happening for me personally. But I also just, this is just for my own thing. This is a part of doing the research. I just want you to Google Donald Trump Jr. book / crates of books, because a lot of times what happens with these political books, and this is not a partisan thing, they'll have people just buy up loads of books to quote unquote sell them. So even if that was number one, I don't believe it's flying off the shelves for the basic consumer. I think it would be a thing of find me all the books, buy all the books, number one in our hearts.
I'd like just how the family has such creative hobbies. If you really want to, depending on how you look at it, it could be hysterical or torturous, but look up Lara Trump on Spotify.
No, thank you. I know where that's leading to, and that's just a day ruiner for me. Thank you very much, Kelvin. Oof. Before we take off for the first hour and head on back your way in the 11 o'clock, also, you know, Kelvin, times are tough. People are struggling, but I want you to know that in case you happen to have a spare $100,000 in your pocket, do you, Calvin?
If I did, it wouldn't be there for long.
There we go. Because you'd be spending it on a Trump Victory Tour Billion watch, a $100,000 gold watch with the name Trump on it. It can be yours for only $100,000. So you know what's on my Christmas list, everybody. By the way, the pictures on the websites aren't what you're going to get, and all sales are final, made in China. All right, we're going to take another break, round out this first hour here. We'll be back at 11:06 with more the Green or Gold Text to Win contest, as well as Dan Schaefer. Go get yourself something to drink. Stay hydrated. Come on back. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, State Senator Kelderoy's on how Republicans just keep digging a bigger hole when it comes to women's reproductive health care rights.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps. This model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.